initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission. Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Salutations. As always, you got Johnny Reed here with the Brute Squad. And my co-host, Todd.
Hey, I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm here in the Batcave having a great time. What's going on with you this week?
I'm telling you, big week. Last week, though, let's I want to talk about something serious this week before we get into the comics and we get into all the news. Big tornado last week hitting Joplin.
Yeah.
We got some good friends down there. Hurley's Comics, Jason and Nathan. We see them at all the conventions. Really
right.
Great guys. I finally get a hold of them on Saturday and talk to Jason. And everybody's fine with them. This comic shop is still standing. All their families and everyone that they know is everybody's okay. So
lucky.
I just want to say a little bit of thank you for all the powers that be to make sure they kept them safe.
Well, and to the powers that be that can help everyone else get their feet back on the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, it's devastating what happened down there. I've seen the pictures. It's just, you just don't mess with tornadoes. It's scary.
It is scary.
I mean, we had tornado warnings downtown last week. I was in the middle of it. We had to be in the stairwell for 2 hours. Just here, you just never know.
It's true.
One thing, though, I do want to give a shout out to Jason and Nathan, and you guys down there. Hope everything's doing well. For all those that do not know, they are looking for donations down there. Anybody out there that's listening to my show that owns comics or has a comic shop, I'm a comic shop owner, and they're looking for donations. There's a lot of people down there that are homeless and shelters. They need something to pass the time by. So what they're doing is they're looking for donations down there so you guys can send the comics and say, hey, we just want to give a little bit of a help.
I agree.
If you guys are wanting to send them, it's for Hurley's Heroes, 1515 West 10th, Suite C, Joplin, Missouri, 64801. So you guys, please pitch in. If you guys got some extra comic stuff you want to get rid of to help them out. I know Jason said they're pretty much open 24/7 right now just to give people a place to hang out. And please, just remember them in their prayers and everyone that's down there, and hopefully they're all safe.
Agreed.
And I guess we'll go into our comic news.
Yeah, this is some strange news. You're not telling me this stuff. What's going on here?
Yeah, a letter from Mr. Bob Wayne, SVP Sales of DC Entertainment. This is the big news this week. A letter to our comic retail partners. In the time I've worked at DC Comics, I've witnessed any number of industry-defining moments. But today, I bring you what is perhaps the biggest news to date. Many of you have heard rumors that DC Comics has been working on a big publishing initiative for later this year. This is indeed an historic time for us, as come this September, we are relaunching the entire DC Universe line of comic books with all new first issues, 52 of them to be exact. In addition, the new number ones will introduce readers to a more modern, diverse DC Universe, with some character variations in appearance, origin, and age. All stories will be grounded in each character's legend, but will relate to real-world situations, interactions, strategy, and triumph. This epic event will kick off Wednesday, August 31st, with the debut of a brand new Justice League number one, which pairs Geoff Johns and Jim Lee together for the first time. Yes, this is the same week as Flashpoint 5 ships. We think our current fans will be excited by this evolution, and that it will make jumping into a story extremely accessible to first-time readers, giving them a chance to discover DC characters and stories. We are positioning ourselves to tell the most innovative stories with our characters to allow fans to see them from a new angle. We have taken great care in maintaining continuity, which, I gotta just sidebar this, we are taking great care in maintaining continuity. See, gotta say, not something I've seen DC really worried about in the past. We're most important, but fans will see a new approach to our storytelling. Some of the characters will have new origins, while others will undergo minor changes. Our characters are always being updated. However, this is the first time all of our characters will be presented in a new way all at once. Dan DiDio, Bob Harris, and Eddie Baganza have been working diligently to put together some of the best creative teams in the industry. Over 50 new costumes were debuted in September, many updated and designed by artist Jim Lee, ensuring that the updated images appeal to the current generation of readers. The publication of Justice League No. 1 will also launch digital day-to-day for ongoing superhero comic book titles, an industry first. On Wednesday, June 1st, the initiative is expected to be announced in a nationwide feature article, and will hopefully the news will be picked up by the media outlets around the world. Throughout this month, we will reveal more details of our plans with articles in both the mainstream and comic press. And on June 13th, the Diamond Catalog solicitations for all of the September titles will be released, followed by the June 29th street date of the print version of previews. DC Comics will support the initiative with an innovative mix of publicity, promotional efforts, and retailer incentives designed to maximize your opportunity to increase your DC sales. We will discuss additional details of those incentives when we get closer to solicitation later in June. We'll be updating you more through emails as of September nears. But today, I hope you share our enthusiasm for this historic event. Sincerely, Bob Wayne, Sales DC Comics. What the frack? I got to tell you. Wow. We're going to reboot our entire universe. But, and this is what I love. We are going to keep the continuity, but we're rewriting origins.
Then it's not, there's no continuity.
There's no continuity. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? I don't get it.
Apparently an oxymoron's in charge of all this.
I don't get it. But it's great. It's a great jumping on point. Golly gee, you know, let's be like all the other reporters. And this is a great, because everybody cannot be intimidated by, I don't want to start on that comic. It's up to issue 900 now. I think this is a great marketing tool. This is awesome. No, this sucks is what this does. I don't get it. I don't like it. It makes no sense to me. We're going to take a company that has killed off Batman.
How many times?
Yeah, well, let's just talk about in the last 3 or 4 years what they've done. DC Comics in the last 3 or 4 years. Let's stretch it out to 5. Why not? Just for, you know, giggles. Green Lantern has come back from the dead. Kind of revitalized the costume a little bit, remodernized it. Got to tell you, when he came back with Rebirth, the whole point of having the his emblem kind of like outstretched from his costume where it was more like a badge. And Van Sciver did some great design work. I got to tell you, Van Sciver is one of my favorite artists. He does some great work. Jeff Johns did some great writing. It was updating Hal. It was awesome. You know, you had Superman. We just did The Secret Origins of Superman by Jeff Johns. And Frank Clark, was it last year? The retelling of it. They kind of made it like, I mean, pretty much everything was still there. They kind of modernized it, made a little Smallville references, you know. But it was pretty good. Even though it was a few years ago we had Birthright, we're going to go ahead and redo his origin again. You know, we've had Batman's origin two or three times. At one point, he knew he killed his parents. At one point, he didn't. You know, you had the Infinite Crisis, which went into Final Crisis, which went into one year later. You got Wonder Woman, who's Skalinski just totally revamped. She doesn't remember anything of what she was. She's a brand new character. We've given her pants. Let's give her women power. You know, we can't have her showing legs, because even though probably, I hate to say it, girls, you know, no offense, but 90% of the fan base of comics are probably guys. There's a lot more girls reading than they used to, and I think that's awesome. But overall, let's look at the fan base. And let's look at even the fan base of women. I mean, these are iconic characters. Do we need to change their costumes all the time? No. I mean, Superman, blue and red. How good did that go over? No. I mean, you're going to change them at times. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you look at Superman, you look at Batman from the 40s, 50s, 60s. There's kind of a development. But actually having like this crazy of like everyone all at once, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. I don't like it. I mean, I understand they say it's a great jumping on point, but I'm looking at it as, hey, this is a great jumping off point.
Well, at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, well, they could take this opportunity to get rid of this crap storyline with Damian and all those fools and bring Bruce Wayne where he's supposed to be without this franchise of doom that everyone hates.
Which would be great, but
they're not doing that.
I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't. I think Damian will still be there. I think Batman will still be there. I mean, anybody gets on the internet, you can look at these costumes. They're supposed to be new, iconic costumes, modernizing these characters. Everybody's got a freaking V-neck collar.
You're kidding.
No, Green Lantern's got a V-neck collar. Aquaman's had a V-neck collar, because don't get me wrong, Aquaman had the beard, he had his hand cut off, but we had this thing called, they had this deal called Brightest Day, a whole 24-issue storyline to bring us back to Swamp Thing. And in this whole Brightest Day, it also brought back Aquaman with both hands, new costume, V-neck. I thought it looked great, but not great enough that you're going to pattern. And I mean, you've now patterned all the DC universe after Aquaman. And it kind of worries me when they say that Jeff Johns and Jim Lee is designing it. I mean, we're going to have one guy pretty much design all of the DCU comics.
Looks that way.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's kind of, I don't like that idea. I think everyone's going to look real the same, and I don't think you should have that. I mean, the whole point of Superman and Batman and Green Lantern, they're all supposed to look a little different. They're supposed to come from different cultures. I mean, Superman's an alien. Let's face it. You know, the greatest part I've ever saw was Cry for Justice. Great story arc, because they have the super friends, basically. You know, you got your Justice League all there, and they're telling Hal that he can't go bring this guy down. And he's like, you're a hero. And Hal turns around and he looks him straight in the eye and he goes, no, I'm not. I'm a cop. I mean, and basically when you think about it, Green Lantern's a space cop. So now he's got his V-neck to look like Superman and Aquaman and everyone else. And I'm like, I'm not digging it. I don't want them all to look the same. And Wonder Woman, a brand new costume again? I mean, I don't get that. I mean, let's talk about the numbering. I mean, we have Action Comics, which has just hit 900. What comic in history has hit 900? Very, very few.
True.
And, you know, they just renumbered Wonder Woman to get her caught up to what she should have been from her first issues of, you know, now she's up to 600. Detective Comics is up to 800. These are legacy comics. These are comics with stories that have been built over time by however many hundreds of different writers and artists, and we're basically going to say, screw you, we're starting over. And
that's
we
crazy.
Want, yeah, I it's like, and this is after we had Blackest Night and Brightest Day, which redid a lot of things. Wasn't that long ago we had Final Crisis? I mean, I'm just so sick of this whole game. It's like DC has ran, and Marvel. Marvel does it too. I mean, it's, this week is DC. We'll get on to Marvel in a minute. But I mean, really, it's like they're all run by used car salesmen. What kind of gimmick can we give? Can we get to get you to buy our comic? You know, it's like McDonald's. This hamburger sucks, but we're going to give you a cute little toy to go with it, so you're going to buy that Happy Meal. You know, I don't. It's smoke and mirrors. I mean, that's what it is. It is smoke and freaking mirrors. And, you know, and it's freaking ridiculous. I don't get it. I mean, the whole point that you have a legacy of characters, comics. I like the idea of having 800 action comics. Am I going to get every single action comic? No. But is renumbering going to stop that? No. Now I can say, hey, I have, so in 15 years from now, I can say, you know what? I have number one to whatever of action comics. Let's get, face it, you know, look back in the 80s. They rebooted the, they had Uncanny X-Men and they started X-Men 1. X-Men 1, gee, who was doing that? Oh yeah, Jim Lee. Here's a new, you know, so he's not doing a new concept here, guys. He's not. This whole number one deal, Jim Lee did it way back 20 years ago with X-Men. And it, yeah, granted, that issue one sold great. But I mean, the point is, after a while, you can go find it in the 50-cent bins. At the conventions, you'll find these X-Men titles. You'll find them all over the place. They're not high collectibles. So when they're sitting there going, hey, this is going to be great. Yeah, it's great for initial shock. And but I think here you're I think this is kind of drawing a line. And it's not at $2.99, guys. This is drawing the line of, yeah, it might be a great jumping on point, but when we're in a recession, people are out of jobs, I think it's a great jumping off point. Or for me, I love my comics. I do. I mean, I own a freaking comic shop. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, own one and not enjoy this media. Then again, you know, there's plenty of people out there that I know of that, you know, they own comic shops, but they're just not into it.
Yeah, we know a few.
Yeah, but the point is, I love them, but I think I'm going to start going through my previews, and I'm going to start looking at more indies. Because I'm telling you, at least in, with some of these indies, I mean, look at Walking Dead. Nice story, great character development. You know, it's on issue, what, the fourth trade paperback's 14th trade paperback is coming out. You know, and it's just a good ongoing story. No big events, no big story arcs, no, it's just good stories. You know, even Spawn, they have some events here and there. The new Haunt. Haunt is great. I'm loving Haunt because I can pick up an issue every month and I don't have to worry about 12 other issues tying into it. This comic is a locked-in story. You know, and I that used to happen. And DC used to have some good events. I mean, I liked the week. I used to like when their events used to be annuals. They used to be in the summer or, you know, every few, so many years. But I mean, my gosh, we keep talking about event fatigue. But to me, this is just another big event. They're going to be pumping out 52 titles of a number ones. I mean, really? This is crazy. And they want us to go out and buy it.
Well, of course.
I mean, I just, I don't understand it. And it's to me, I think it's pretty ridiculous. I think it's finally, I think they finally hit a line that, hey, what other kind of gimmick can we throw at you to try to get you to buy it? Because we've ran out of good ideas to write about. We don't have, we're running out of ideas to write comics on. So we're just going to do gimmick after gimmick after gimmick after gimmick. And it's finally just to the point, you know, I'm looking at this month, the new previews came out, and everybody knows Flashpoint. They're showing issue 3 for all these 3-issue limited series. And I'm like, why should I order them? Why should I read them? You're going to reboot everything in a month anyway. Should I just wait and pick up my comics then?
Exactly.
I mean, and what about all my older comics? You're going to rewrite the continuity where, what, those never happened?
If they can.
If they can. I mean, granted, you do have iconic characters. You want them to be around forever. Just like Mickey Mouse, you want them to be around forever. These are characters that they are legends. Every so often, you need to reboot them to keep them young. You know, a lot of people say the biggest problem they're having with Dick Grayson is that anymore Dick Grayson's older than Batman. I mean, considering he's been a police officer, he's been a gymnast, you know, gym teacher doing gymnastics. You know, he's done all the Teen Titans. I mean, all the years of all the stuff he's done would make Batman literally 50 years old. And Tim should be like around 30 or 40. So I understand the reboots. But to all of a sudden say, hey, we're going to reboot everything next year, I mean this year, and everyone's going to change and everyone's going to be younger, I think it's just too soon after all these other big events. And, I mean, we'll look at it, but and I'll talk about it, or complain about it, but I think it's freaking ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of like Marvel. I mean, give me a break. They had a big thing about Thor. We, you know, Stilinski, you know, comes out with Thor, some great comics, and then Marvel screws him over, and he jumps the ship and goes to DC. And then what do? They say, hey, Thor's getting up to 600, so let's make sure that we renumber it to 600. Okay. And then they turn around and say, oh, we're going to rename it and put it back its original name to Journey to Mystery.
Jeez.
Okay. And then what do they do the next month? Oh, wait, we're going to start with a new Thor number one. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I think the greatest one, I got to tell you, they have dead. I just don't get it. I'm telling you, it just drives me nuts. Freaking Daredevil. Kicked out of his own comic book. He's no longer good enough to be Daredevil. They finally renumbered it, so it's up into the 500s. They wanted that special 500th issue. And what do? They have Black Panther now, the Man Without Fear. So we have these comic collections of like 500 and something issues of Daredevil. Then all of a sudden we get Black Panther. You know why that is, folks? Let's not be stupid. Black Panther has had his own comic book 3-4 times and nobody buys it. Keeps getting canceled. Why? Nobody buys it. So they say, hey, people, we're going to put him in Daredevil, and everybody that's a Daredevil fan is going to keep buying it. And why are they going to keep buying it? Because they're hoping Daredevil is going to come back to the title, and they can say, hey, I still have my whole collection from this number to this number. But no, they're going to reboot Daredevil to number one. So you have Black Panther, Man Without Fear, 522, and over here you have Daredevil, number one. Why would you just not put the character back in his own dang book? It's freaking stupid. And they think that we, the populace, are just stupid about it. I mean, heck, they've rebooted the Avengers like every time somebody, the Earth revolves. It's getting just silly. I mean, it's bad enough they got 12 different X-Men titles and 12 different Avengers titles, but then they got to reboot them every time we turn around. Yeah, silly. Silly, silly, silly. Well, tell you what, let's go ahead and talk about the comics that did come out this week.
The stuff that's at least worth talking about, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Why don't we go to break and then do that when we come back?
Are we close to break?
We're pretty close.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the Boot Squad. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute. We'll be right back.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
Welcome back to the Brute Squad. Well, as we do know, what came out this week but the new previews. One thing I just want to make note that I think is really cool that they now are starting a new series, Angel and Faith. And as we know from the Buffy universe, the good thing is about them is they've now returned to Dark Horse. Dark Horse Comics has got a hold of them. And since they actually own Buffy, maybe we might see some crossovers between Angel and Buffy. Now that I've spent half an hour saying how much I hate crossovers. But at least, you know, I do like seeing characters that work well together. The fact that they got Angel and Faith, I think that's going to be pretty good. Some other things I just saw of note. They're talking now about Identity Crisis in the Batman books. It looks like they're going to have this big push for Dick to all of a sudden realize that he doesn't need to be Batman. And he needs to find himself a new costume. So, looks like maybe we might finally get Dick back as Nightwing. But then again, with them rebooting it, who knows? Really not a lot of other great exciting things, you know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has now got a new one going. I guess the big thing is IDW finally got the rights to do Servant of the Bones by Anne Rice. So all those that are interested in that, there's going to be a 6-issue limited series. I know some people are excited about that just to see Anne Rice's stuff. And the other big thing by IDW is Dungeons & Dragons has come back with Dritz number 1. So all those fans of good old Dritz D'Orden from the Forgotten Realms book, he's back into the comic books. Go to your local comic shop, otherwise mine, and go get it. Comics for this week. We're going to try to touch base with that. X-Men, Superboy came out. Adventure Comics, which I got to tell you, Lovitz, who stepped down from DC, which it sounds like he stepped down just in time, is going back to doing Legion of Superhero comics. I got to tell you, they're just really good old-fashioned comics. I'm digging them. Just good story arcs. Wonder Woman came out. Big thing in Marvel, number 3 of Fear Itself. Got it. Haven't actually read it yet. Too big of a pile. But that is one definitely to be checking out. Flashpoint, number 2, came out. Big spoiler alert, the big news here is that, yes, Bruce died. This is a different alternate reality. And his dad is actually became the Batman. Barry finally tracks him down and says, "Hey, I'm Barry. I came from this other world. Basically, I want you to help me become the Flash again." And basically the whole comic is based on him strapping himself to a liquid chair with all kinds of chemicals in a lightning storm so that he can try to become the Flash again. We'll see how that works out. The last panel, you know, he looks like a fried piece of burnt toast.
Jeez.
Yeah, so not thinking that's really going to go real well.
Doesn't look too good.
No. Haunt came out this week. Flash Gordon. I got to tell you, I'm digging this comic. It's one of those indie ones, and it's just the artwork is really clean looking. Brandon Dinen is doing really well as far as the writing. The artwork is Paul Green, and I got to tell you, I just really like it. I like it's very pulp. It kind of reminds me of the old, you know, serials, and the artwork is just it's really vivid. The colors are awesome. If you guys get a chance, check out this Flash Gordon, man. It's awesome. Flashpoint, Evan Sur, Green Lantern came out. So we finally get to see, like, if Evan Sur never died. Basically, what was he like? What did he do? I guess the one I really enjoy the most this week is Uncanny X-Force. Basically, the cool thing about that is that those of you who are not aware of Uncanny X-Force, it's basically Scott at one point put together this strike team to go out and like hunt down evil villains. Now that Captain America is kind of in charge of all superhero activity in Marvel, Cyclops shut the team down. Well, they did a reboot because that's what they do. And they have a new team. It's Wolverine, Psylocke, Archangel, Deadpool, Phantom X. And I got to tell you, what I dig so much about this comic is just seeing Wolverine and Deadpool together. It's freaking comical. And the thing that is really neat is Warren's having some issues where he's kind of turning into the dark Archangel from the Age of Apocalypse. And they're finding out that they need to find this, what they call kind of a life seed. And they have to go back to the Age of Apocalypse to get it. So we get to kind of see all our heroes that we love now go to this ultimate dimension to actually see what's going on. I mean, tell you true, scientifically, I'm not sure how that really works, because those of us that have read The Age of Apocalypse, it was Legion created this other world. And it was our world. And it was like, what would have happened if Xavier was shot? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, his mind went back to normal and Xavier wasn't shot and everything went back to normal. So basically, how this dimension could still exist, I'm going to kind of overlook it and not get all scientific about it because, you know, the comic continuity. But I got to tell you, it's kind of cool seeing them because they've actually got, you know, Nightcrawler. You get to see Sabretooth, Wild Child. So we get to see some of those great iconic characters. Sunfire's back. And it's kind of cool seeing them in this new Age of Apocalypse. I mean, I was a big fan of the Age of Apocalypse storyline. The whole concept of it, I thought, was brilliant. Unlike DC, who has this whole Flashpoint going on for 19 different miniseries, and then they also expect you to buy all their regular titles. And then plus they have this deal with the retro comics where they're going to give you the 80s and 90s of Green Lantern and Batman and Superman. I mean, nobody can afford all these comics at this time of year anyway. I mean, Age of Apocalypse was great. We are going to change and show that Xavier was never Xavier. He died. And what would the world be like without him? And what did they do? They put all their X-Men titles. They stopped them. They all became Age of Apocalypse storylines. They did like the four, you know, 1 or 2 months of it. And then they all returned to what they used to be when they were done. That's what I think, you know, these should be about. If you're going to do a big event, make it flawless. Just have the story in your comics and be done with it. And this one's great because the thing I love about Uncanny X-Men is just that they are basically now doing this without Cyclops' knowledge. Wolverine's in charge, and he's just got a bloodthirsty strike team. They're not afraid to kill. They're going to kill them before these guys come out after the X-Men. And just the concept of it, I like, because, I mean, Wolverine, give me a break. You can make him as kid and friendly as you want, but he's an assassin. He's a killer. That's what he was designed to be. That's what he's supposed to be. Let's keep it, you know, just make him what he is. And so far, you know, I'm really digging it. I really like the way they're heading. I mean, granted, they're still not going to have him smoke because smoke is cancerous and nobody should be doing that. But I got to say, bright as day, the last issue came out a couple weeks ago. They brought back Constantine, which we've talked about, and he comes back smoking a cigar. Or a cigarette, I'm sorry, a cigarette. And I thought it was great because it's like, I understand we're not supposed to be showing people that cigarettes bad for your health. But, you know, by now, if you don't know smoking is bad for your health, you live in a shoebox and need to be shot anyway. I mean, how many warning labels? I mean, how many commercials? Cigarettes is bad for you. Don't do it. It'll kill you. But by the same token, there's people out there that smoke. Not showing it's not going to make it go away. It's like, hey, let's not have anybody drinking because that might look bad.
Could be bad.
Could be bad. Movies this week. What did we all see? Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Well, I think Todd and I might differ a little bit in our opinions on this one. What do you think, Todd? What's your viewpoint on this one?
Well, here's my deal. It's like, I loved the first Pirates of the Caribbean, and I have to admit the other two are guilty pleasures. I have the box set on Blu-ray. It was cheap, so I picked it up.
Right.
That Hastings used, of all things. But plug for Hastings there. But the thing is, you know, the first one had, I don't know, I guess it took him so long to write it and everything. It had more heart, and he was a scoundrel, Jack Sparrow was, a scoundrel. And kind of like Han Solo in the first Star Wars. He was rough around the edges. He was a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Right.
Right? That's why it was great that he shot first, not Greedo, because that gave you insight into his character that, look, he thought he was going to get shot, so he just took the guy out. He was rough around the edges. Well, Captain Jack was raw. I mean, go back and watch it. He was drunk out of his mind having sword fights, and that kind of contributed, like the Drunken Master, the Jackie Chan vehicle. That was great. Well, in the second and third one, they kind of started sandpapering the edges. By the time the third one came around, he was so family-friendly, it was really kind of scary. He could go to birthday parties. Well, then the new one comes out telling me it's a return to form to the first movie. Not really. For one thing, Jack is still sanded around the edges. He's still so family-friendly, it's squeaky clean. Might as well have the rest of the Disney characters in his pocket hanging out. I mean, he might as well be having dinner with Tigger and Pooh and, you know, Mickey Mouse and everybody. It just wasn't the same guy. On top of that, they don't let him drink. It's like he like you mentioned, he gets a couple of swigs out of a flask, and he maybe gets a couple of drinks out of a barrel that he hits with a sword. The rest of the time, they're knocking the drinks out of his hand every time he gets near one. He's pretty much the most sober, drunken Jack there ever was. And then they got to, you know, it's about the Fountain of Youth, which is a pagan thing, so they got to make sure they put the Christian missionary guy in there who is going to save the day for everybody. And I'm like, hold on, man. There were four standout action sequences in the movie. I love the mermaids. But you got to understand, Gore Verbinski is not involved. The guy who directed it, let's be honest, he can't direct action worth a damn. He did the best he could, but luckily they had someone there who had been involved, the stunt coordinators on the other movies. I liked the chase scene with the carriage. It was pretty cool. I love the mermaids. They went back to the old mermaids of the historical legends that were just scary, monstrous things. But overall, and then the ending was just so lackluster. I was like, here's the big finale, and nothing really happened. Did you notice that? You got three armies converging on each other. And no one's fought. No one drew a sword.
Well, I agree on some points. I mean, I think, I was kind of looking for a big ending, but I think a lot of it was more of the setup for the next movie.
I don't want it's the next movie. I'm done.
Yeah, but there's a lot. I mean, give me a break. It made $365 million in the first 5 days. There's going to be another one.
I know, unfortunately.
But see, the thing I did like about it, because I enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, I did not really care for the second and third one. The things I really enjoyed about this one was it was nice to see Jack. There was no Will. There's no Keira Knightley all over the place. It was nice just to see Jack. And I liked seeing the carriage rides. I liked seeing how he acted. Granted, I do agree with you. They needed to have him drinking and more drunk. It was the Jack that was so drunk in the first movie, things just happened to roll for him. I do kind of miss that. But I do like that we finally got Jack with a love interest. I liked the whole Blackbeard's daughter. I liked the fact that this was, I mean, spoiler alert, but I mean, think about it. She was once a nun. She was getting ready to take her vows, and basically he corrupted her. I mean, that to me is a great pirate act. You actually found this beautiful maiden that's getting ready to take your vows as a nun, and not only do you bed her, but you corrupt her. I mean, to me, I thought that was just a nice twist.
I could see that. I mean, you could understand a word that the woman said, yeah.
But you know what? I got to tell you, I was telling some people I work with, before, you know, we went to see, cause I went to see with a big group that I work with. And, I was telling everybody, I'm not a big Penelope Cruz fan. You know, I've seen some movies with her, Sahara, she was all right. But never really thought anything special. I'm going to tell you, I walked out of there with a different frame of mind, something about her with a pirate costume. I thought she did well. Granted, you know, can you really understand everything she says? No, but I don't think that's really her whole purpose in that movie either. But
man, you can't understand half of her dialogue. I mean, you know, you're in a movie, man. Speak. Say a syllable. That was my problem. I was like, come on. I just want to be able to hear this woman speak.
But Barbosa, I thought was great seeing him.
He was great. He was
Barbosa, I mean, he's a great actor in his own right. I mean, I love his character. I love that he was working with the king at the beginning. It was awesome. Just basically all this just to get his ship back and just to go after Blackbeard.
Well, thank goodness Barbosa was in it. There'd be no scenery chewing at all.
That's
because
true.
Because I was really looking forward to our big, you know, the big bad guy, Blackbeard. I was like, he's going to chew some scenery. But he wasn't much of a threat to anyone, really, in this movie.
Yeah, I was disappointed. It was all like him pointing that magic sword.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Like, what the heck? And then he's like shrunk all the ships down.
True.
You know, it's kind of like, what? Yeah, Blackbeard, I really wish they would have done a lot more with.
Right. Just because you felt it. You felt like you needed it.
Yeah, and especially at the end. You know, this whole Jack had to trick her because she was going to – okay, she just met her dad not too long ago. And she's going to give up her life to save her father's soul, who's trying to kill her and has two or three times.
Exactly.
It's like, really? Come on. Nobody's that ditzy. I mean, granted, yeah, that is. I mean – There's Darwin Awards out there that we could speak of, but yeah. But I got to tell you, I mean, overall, I still enjoyed the movie. I mean, compared to the second and third one, I mean, I hated the second and third one. This deal with, you know, Elizabeth Swann or whatever, and she was always flirting with Captain Jack, and it's like, really? You're supposed to be with Will. They tried to do this little love triangle, and when you got like these two people that are supposed to be meant together, it just seemed like she was a tramp. I didn't like it. Yes, I'll say it. Keira Knightley, you are a tramp in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You dirty tramp.
Yeah, don't like you. Didn't like you in it. No. Go back to Pride and Prejudice. You were better in that.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, don't hold back. But, you know, I got to say, I enjoyed this one. You know, for those of you who haven't seen it, yeah, there is a big scene at the end after the credits that's kind of setting up the new one. Did you catch that part?
Yeah, I didn't really know. I mean, it was okay, I guess.
It could have been better. It really could have been better.
Once again, I just felt, maybe I was expecting more, but I felt jaded.
You know what I thought was the stupidest part of the whole movie? How easy it was. There was supposedly this ship. And it had these, you know, goblets that they had to get. And these are what they needed for this spell. So they get on this ship to get these goblets. Jack, there's got to be a captain in there somewhere, grabs these goblets. Now, if you look around the ship, there's gold and treasure everywhere. Okay, these are pirates. Why is there still gold and treasure everywhere?
Because they're not interested in all that, don't you know?
Yeah, whatever. Bull crap. I'm like, give me a break. That I didn't like. I was like, you know, some costume designer should have just made that ship stripped. Have the goblets hidden. Have Jack have to find them. The other thing, this missionary. Why is it all these people are dead and the missionary's just hanging?
Because you can't do anything to harm the Christian.
Well, I didn't understand the character. It was, to me, it was very forced. You know,
they had to have him in there. Like I said, it was a pagan situation, and Disney has to bow to the almighty religious right. And that's one of the problems I have with their stuff lately is because they've, you know, that's why the Black Cauldron still isn't on Blu-ray, man. You know, it's Walmart, it's such a weird double standard, too, because they don't want the Five Deadly Venoms, which just came out on Blu-ray, which, if anyone knows, that Kung Fu Panda, the first one, was kind of loosely based on that movie. And it's a fantastic movie. There's no nudity. There's no cussing. There's no gore, really, just kung fu fights. But yet, Walmart had 8 copies that somehow disappeared and were hidden somewhere in the back room. But they did get the Summer Lover, Lesbian Love Triangle movie that has on the cover Extra Hot... unrated version, more erotic.
Nice.
That's okay, because it's really weird how the community, the family friendly community, has gotten so twisted. Let's look at the ABC Family Channel, and every show on there practically has to have kids getting in bed together. Everyone has an unwed teen mother, you know, or a pregnant teenager. Every one of these shows. My daughter's always asking me about it. She's 10, asking me about these shows on the friggin' ABC Family Channel.
Oh, I know. I got the same thing in my household. It's just one of those things. I'm looking at this and I'm like, that's a family show?
It's the point, though. Everything's got twisted.
In ABC Family, who owns it?
Well, ABC.
ABC. And ABC is, you know, they're linked with Disney.
Well, the problem here is that all of these people have kind of twisted things around. You know, I hear people complaining all the time about this and that and censorship, but truth is, it's really gotten weird. I mean, they've gotten to the point where Dark Knight almost got the R rating and things like that in this country. People were complaining that Star Wars Episode 3 was too dark for their kids, and yet here's this crap.
Episode 3 was too dark?
Well, I kind of thought to myself, what did you expect it to be? All roses? This is where it goes to the dark side.
I wanted it darker.
Well, it would have
been. I didn't think it was dark enough.
They gave him so much hell, it would have been darker, but they couldn't go any further.
We don't even want to talk about my opinion on that.
I love that movie.
The third one?
Yeah, I loved it.
God, I hated it.
I loved that movie.
No, are you serious?
Oh, yeah, I am. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
No.
I did. Yes, I loved it. There were some things that rubbed me a little funny, but I loved it.
Okay, wait a second. We have a Jedi, okay, arguing with Mace Windu, the Jedi, high councilman, a Jedi master, arguing that you can't kill the Chancellor. We're Jedis. We have to take him in. You can't kill him. We have to take him in because we're the good guys.
That's true.
Okay, wait, I'm going to kill you. And then, in the next scene, I'm going to kill every Jedi, including the Jedi children.
But that wasn't Mace Windu's job. That wasn't his fault.
But what I'm saying is Anakin turned from, we don't kill anyone, we are great, we are Jedis, you can't kill this guy even though he's evil, to, I am going to kill Jedi children.
Well,
that wasn't believable to me at all.
What you have to realize is that Anakin had a loyalty to that character. Also, he was like, at that very moment, that is the changeover. And what it was trying to show, I think, was once you accept the path to the dark side, you are consumed practically instantly by it. That's what I think they were trying to convey. Almost instantly, you lose yourself. That's kind of what I got out of that. Because the dark side is such a overwhelmingly dark, kind of like an oil spill. It just completely covers everything instantly. I think that's what they were trying to show there, because it's such a negative, horrible thing that once you take a step into the door, you're gone. You can't just put a toe in and play. You see what I'm saying? You can't just dabble in the darkness. You're gone.
You want to know what everybody, Lucas always said that he wanted the movies to be looked at in a different light after you watch these three. I got to tell you, I didn't really see anything change in them. You want to know what I would like to have seen? Here he goes. Those movies, according to Johnny. You want to know what I think would have been great? Is if Obi-Wan had an affair with Padawan. Have him have an affair with her, okay?
Padme?
Padme, thank you. And have Anakin see it. To me, jealousy would have been the greatest thing for the dark side.
You can't do that, because then you would taint and destroy Obi-Wan's heroic character. Obi-Wan never faltered.
But the point is,
important.
But what would have been cool about that is if you found out later on that the children were never Darth Vader's. They were Obi-Wan's.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I think that'd be cool.
They got to be Darth Vader's, because you can't have Obi-Wan doing something like that, man. You can't.
Why not?
Because it doesn't fall in with the Jedi code.
But if he could have done it before they were married.
It wouldn't have mattered, because that's not the way of the Jedi. The fact that he was with her, they were hiding it from everybody, remember? Because you can't be with anyone if you're a Jedi. That was the first step to the path of the darkness.
Right.
And then the second was, his mother, the revenge he got for his mother, and that whole thing that happened there, that just pushed him further into the dark side.
But how cool would it have been if those kids would have been Obi-Wans?
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been cool for me, because I would have been torn inside, because Obi-Wan has always been the knight, the shining example.
Oh, granted.
And you don't want to ruin that. Think about it, man. You don't want to ruin it, because then in the sequel, you wouldn't have any respect for the guy in when it came to part four.
Because he pretty much whipped up on Vader pretty good.
I mean, you had to you had to show that you have to have that respect for Obi-Wan Kenobi, man.
I just didn't buy the changing of Anakin so quick.
I think it's all because it's trying to show you that, and who knows, it may have been a longer process, but he got in so much hell after explaining too much in the first movie that he just kind of cut to the chase. But I think, honestly, if you watched part two and three back to back, which I did not too long ago, you kind of see the story arc is actually pretty fitting. And don't forget, you have to watch the in-between sequences as well. That small, the miniseries of the Clone Wars, the two-part miniseries that was done by the guy who did Samurai Jack,
mm-hmm.
That was fantastic at showing sometimes how Anakin was changing. There was like things going on. And now in the Clone Wars, the TV series, they're showing some of that as well.
Oh, granted,
so they're
yeah.
bridging those gaps, because I think Lucas himself wanted to tell a longer story. I think his hands were pretty tied at that point. So, because it's a summertime movie, man. It's kind of like, there's been several movies I've seen recently where when I got done, like Priest, I felt like there's a lot missing. Now, granted, that was cut for a PG rating, but there's been several other movies I've left thinking, wow, that seems like there was something missing in there that should have been longer. And I think that's because when you finally see the longer versions, it's going to have more storyline in there.
Well, they had the big, huge deal,
Thor that did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. But see, they had a lot of it, like the rumor was that Darth Vader worked with Boba Fett to, hunt out the Jedis. See, I think that would have been a great whole other movie.
I think that's a part that goes in between. I think that happens like in between episode 2 and episode 3 or something.
No, it's supposed to be between episode 3 and episode 4.
Oh, is it?
Is when they hunt down the Jedi. Because it's Vader and... Because that's the one thing that always was impressed me. Was Vader is this just big badass, you know? It's Vader, you know? And he's talking to Boba Fett, and Boba Fett's just looking at him like, they're no good to me. He's not even blinking an eye at Vader, you know? And supposedly the rumor is they work together to basically hunt down the Jedis.
Hmm, could be.
But see, I think that would have been a great whole nother movie.
Who knows where that'll go? They could do that.
To me, the one thing I could say about those three, I think they were a great concept. I would like to have seen somebody else would have directed them.
I think that could be true in some instances.
I mean, the best one was Empire, and that was the one he did not direct.
Right.
Boy, how do we get on a Star Wars game?
I don't know, but we do that. Now we're about out of time.
Are we out of time?
We are out of time, woefully.
Well, guys, once again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Brood Squad. And be sure to come back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
You got that right. Shut up.